Welcome to the Windsor Podcast.
I don't know about you, but I got into this to help people. We need more openness and more transparency in government.
Here's your host, Mark McKenzie.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Windsor Podcast. Yeah, I am your host, Mark McKenzie. And make sure to subscribe through your favorite podcast app. That way you never miss an episode. So whether you're listening to this podcast on Apple Music or Spotify or Podcast Addict or Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, make sure to hit that subscribe or follow button. They kind of change depending on the program you're using. But it should be subscribe, follow. There might even just be a little plus sign with a circle. Click on that. That way you never miss an episode. But of course, you can always listen online as well at windsorpodcast.com. And yeah, I am Mark McKenzie again. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. Going to be chatting with Tony Smith from Garage Gym, former Windsor police officer and now running Garage Gym for the past few years. We're going to be chatting with him. So I started something last week called the 6-Week Transformation, and it's a program that they offer at Garage Gym that they're doing right now. So this is my week 2 now, but they give you, a whole food plan. You got access to the app, personal trainers. I have access to them 24/7. And then of course I have access to the gym. So I go to the classes at the gym every day. And well, except Sunday, Sunday's the rest day. But yeah, it's going great so far. Everybody's super supportive. I'm not a big gym guy, so I need someone to like kick my ass. I need someone to hold me accountable, right? And that's why I was like, you know what? This is what I got to do. 6-week transformation. And Tony promises after 6 weeks, I'm going to be a new person, not only on the outside, but more importantly on the inside. We got to change what's going on in my head. We got to change how I think, how I feel, and what I eat, really, right? You don't want to go back down that road of bad habits. So I can tell already that I've already started to change a little bit. And I can only imagine after 6 weeks how good I'm going to feel. And again, that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. I'm not looking like one day at a time. I'm looking 6 weeks from now, and then 6 months from now, and then like a year from now. How am I going to feel then, right? And I really got to change this. I'm going to be 42 this year. I don't want to be, 50 or 60 and look back and be like, man, when I was in my 40s, I really should have got my crap together, because I'm already doing that, looking back and saying, man, when I was in my 20s or my 30s or even my teens, I really should have started these habits then. And I should have, I know that, but I got to stop looking back and saying, okay, well, there's nothing I can do to change the past, but there is something I can do right now to change the future. And that's why I got into politics as well, right? I wanted to change the future. I wanted to change, because again, we can't change the past. We can't change what has already been, what has already happened. We can't change all that bad stuff. But we can make changes now that hopefully will then make the future better. And so again, you can look at it, the political way. You can look at it at your own life as well. Make those little changes now, which will then all pile on top of each other, and it will accumulate to some big changes, right? So again, you can't look one day at a time, but you can kind of look at it, I guess, that way if you want to look at like little wins every single day, right? It's like I say to my son, he plays the guitar. He's been practicing he takes lessons. It's been over a year now. But every time we're like, all right, dude, you got to go practice 15 minutes. Like, that's all we ask. I don't want to practice. I don't like practice. So we had that conversation, actually we had it today. And I said, all right, man, think about it this way. 15 minutes. All right. I said, first off, I'm going to the gym now. I said, am I going to lose weight and feel better if I don't go to the gym? And he goes, no. I said, okay, are you going to get better at the guitar if you don't practice? And he says, no. I said, okay, 15 minutes a day, right? So I said, take that 15 minutes. I know you say 15 minutes is nothing, right? And I said, but add that up. So I said, say you do 15 minutes a day every day. So seven days a week. I said, how many minutes is that a week? And he says, thought about it for a second. He goes, 105. I said, okay. So now imagine 15 minutes. So 105 a week. I said, okay. Well, imagine, say there's 30 days in a month. I said, okay, well, now look at it that way. 15 minutes for 30 days. I said, what's that? and he thought about it, had to get a piece of paper. He's 10 years old. So he got a piece of paper and he goes, 450. I said, 450. I said, so now 450 minutes in a month, you think you're going to be better after 450 minutes? And he says, yeah. And I said, okay, well now take those 450 minutes. I said, and times that by 12 months in a year. So again, he went on the piece of paper, did it. And he said, 5,400. I said, 5,400 minutes. So I said, look at it that way. 5,400 minutes in 1 year. I said, how good do you think you're going to be at the guitar after practicing for 5,400 minutes? And he says, I'm going to be really good. I said, yeah. So again, it's only 15 minutes a day. But once you start adding all those together, now we're looking at 5,400 minutes for a full year. And he says, I want to go practice my guitar. And I said, perfect. The speech worked. So again, that's the way I'm trying to look at it too. You know, some little wins every single day, compound those. And again, after 6 weeks, I'm already feeling better. I can only imagine how I'm going to look and feel after 6 weeks. And then, like I said, 6 months, and then a year from now, it's, you know, I'm hoping to feel great. So thanks. So yeah, we're going to talk to Tony Smith from Garage Gym again, coming up in just a little bit. Lots going on. It is budget week. Yes, the 2024 federal budget going to be dropping later on today. So I did think about maybe holding off to record this and talking about the federal budget. But I got an idea. So what I'll do, what I'll do is that I'm hoping by the time I'm done recording this, the federal budget should drop. I'm looking at the time and I'm like, hey, yeah, the budget should be dropped by the end of this episode, hopefully after we talk to Tony, and then we can come back and talk about that. But I know some of the things that, you know, we've already seen, they're saying expect tax hikes, right? Because of all those billions and billions and billions of dollars were announced over the past few weeks. So we can expect tax hikes, I would assume. But we'll wait and see again, hopefully before the end of recording this show, some news drops on that. Did you see GM made a big announcement this week? GM moving their Detroit headquarters to a new downtown tower in downtown Detroit, owned by Bedrock Real Estate. It's going to be in the same spot where, I mean, if you're old like me, you'd remember it. But the site of the old Hudson's department store in the heart of downtown Detroit. So they've teamed up with Bedrock, and that's owned by Dan Gilbert. He made the announcement this week, say at the site of the new tower that Bedrock's building on the site of the old Hudson's department store, but going to be moving out of the 7-building Renaissance Center, of course, which is now owned by GM. It's going to be interesting to see how this. So they're saying they're going to redevelop the Renaissance Center. Now, when people hear redevelop, they're like, oh my God, are they going to tear down the Renaissance Center? I don't think that's in the plans, right? I don't think they'd ever allow that to happen. That being said, what is the redevelopment going to look like? That's the question that everybody's asking, because GM's saying that they're not even going to be moving to this Hudson site until 2025. But then they're going to start some redevelopment of the Renaissance Center. And what is that going to look like? Well, that's going to be interesting. They're staying pretty hush. Yeah, it's pretty hush-hush, all of that. Is it going to be redeveloped and, you know, they're just going to kind of remodel it and then it's still going to be used as office space? Or are they going to turn it into residential housing? That's what I'm assuming. They haven't come out and actually announced that yet. They said they're going to take about a year or so to kind of think about what works for the redevelopment of the Renaissance Center. But yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if they end up, at least, I'm sure there's going to be mixed use in there. But yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if they end up putting some residential units in there. I mean, you're looking at multi-million dollar residential units in that Renaissance Center, if that's what they decide to do. Now, we do know what they're going to be putting in this, I guess, new headquarters for GM, the former Hudson Department Store site. So that's going to be opening this year. And as the development's anchor tenant, the automaker signed a 15-year lease atop the two office floors of the 12-story mixed-use office, retail, and event space building, which is adjacent to the tower that is going to have a hotel and residential housing. So there is a rendering that depicted GM's logo on top of the building that it's going to occupy as well. There's going to be a public showroom for GM on the ground floor also. So again, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, though, with the Rensen, right? I mean, you think about all the movies that are featured in Detroit. They always feature the Renaissance Center. And I mean, just the Windsor, you know, when you're looking, you're walking that waterfront, you look across to Detroit and it's just legendary, right? That's what we see. That's what we're used to. And then over the past, you know, few years now, they've started, you know, lighting it up for the sports teams, right? So GM obviously put a lot of money into that building also, right? So they say, though, they're not going to be getting rid of it. GM saying, no, we're still going to hold on to this. I guess we'll have to wait and see. I don't think they want to announce everything at once, but it will be interesting to see, especially with Dan Gilbert involved with this, what's going to happen to the Renaissance Center. But sounds like we're about a year away from that announcement actually happening. Moving on to some Windsor news, the public meetings are planned for the future of the Jackson Park Bandshell. I know that this was debated numerous times at council this term, and we want to hear from anyone with specific ideas, opportunities for the historic Bandshell in Jackson Park. So stakeholders interested in meeting with city administration and staff can discuss their ideas already by contacting the Parks Department at Jackson Park Bandshell at citywindsor.ca. That's Jackson Park Bandshell at citywindsor.ca. You can email that way. And then the city has booked some meetings between Wednesday, April 17th and Friday, June 17th. So we want to hear from residents. City staff are holding a public meeting on April 25th. That's April 25th. Optimist Community Center on Ypres. Two sessions are planned, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. and then another one from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So again, that public session going to be happening at the Optimist Community Center on Ypres, right next to Optimist Memorial Park on April 25th. Again, two sessions planned, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., and then again from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. There's also an online survey, which will be opening April 22nd. That closes on June 23rd. So just some background info on this. Last November, the council did authorize a two-phase feasibility study for renovating the Bandshell. Now, the Bandshell did host many events in the past, you know, Battle of the Bands, of course, the Emancipation Day festivals, things like that. Now, people do get this Bandshell confused with the original Jackson Park Bandshell, which was destroyed by a fire in 1957. That one was originally built in 1950. Again, destroyed by fire in 1957. That one was in a totally different location as well. That one, that stage was actually closer to Ouellette Avenue. And so in 1959, council approved the construction of this new Bandshell, which ended up getting pushed closer to McDougal. Now, the reason they ended up moving it, they said it was just too loud as it was close to Ouellette, busy street. They said, how about we move it closer to McDougal? It's quieter on that end of the park. There was a bit more parking over there as well. So they said, okay, let's move it over there. But yeah, in its heyday, the Bandshell was used for the Emancipation Festival. The old stage did see many Motown acts early in their career. The Supremes, Martha and the Vandellas, the Isley Brothers, and even saw Dr. Martin Luther King attend in 1956. Again, at the original stage, which was destroyed by a fire in 1957. So there's just that confusion, right? And I do get that, okay, it's not the original stage, but there is still, you know, this historic aspect to this Bandshell. And I know that a lot of people want to see this Bandshell renovated, bring it back up to standards. Unfortunately, you know, there's some logistical issues as well. First off, the stage should be pointing the other way. That was one of them. Because the city doesn't own the Windsor Stadium, right? Which it kind of, you know, it faces Windsor Stadium. So there's not much area there for spectators to hang out. So that's one of the issues that we've been dealing with here, right? And unfortunately, previous councils, you know, decided to stop investing in that band shell. And I mean, this is going back 40 years and it kind of just sat, they like, oh, let's just, you know, keep it in a holding pattern until, you know, we decide what to do with it. But then it's just sat there now for, you know, 40 plus years and they're using it as storage and it's just, it's sad really. Cause it is, you know, it's a beautiful stage. It has a lot of potential, but then it comes to the question, okay, well, it's not that original stage, again, that featured those Motown acts, that featured the legendary Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. attending in 1956. The original stage was destroyed by a fire again in 57. So is there something else we can do here? And so one thing that was proposed was like, okay, well, how about we just make this a historic site, right? And we did speak with some people from the community that really are attached to this stage. And they said, well, yeah, like we absolutely would like to see that, right? Let's make like, you could make it like a walking tour, right? And so, you know, we can at least make sure it's not going to fall down. We'll fix it up a little bit. And then we can have the proper signage and we can have plaques and we can put in a nice path so you can actually access it because the access right now isn't very well either. And then it can be used as like, look, here is this historic site where, you know, we had Battle of the Bands and where there were Emancipation Day festivals, which is so important to the Windsor-Detroit area. And then also talk about the original band shell, which, again, was destroyed by that fire in 1957 and the things that happened at that band shell. And you could even have the walking path go to the site of that original band shell. And then maybe we have something there as well saying, you know, a stage once stood here. And it featured Emancipation Day festivals and Dr. Martin Luther King attended in 1956 and had a speech and the Supremes, Martha and the Vandellas, the Isley Brothers and some amazing Motown acts performed here as well. And talk about the history of that actual site also, right? And I think maybe that is the better way to kind of go about this, but we'll see what the public says. We'll see what the public wants to do. But that was one thing that we discussed at council as well, right? And there actually is a documentary on the stage also. But again, it talks about the original stage and, you know, how that one was built in 1950, was unfortunately destroyed by a fire in 1957, and then how that new stage was then constructed years later. And is still, you know, an important part of Windsor's history, rightfully so. It'll be interesting to see how these public meetings go. And I'm looking forward to getting that public feedback. But, you know, attend the meeting. It's happening, that public meeting happening April 25th, Optimist Community Center on Ypres. Two sessions planned, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And you can also email the Parks Department at jacksonparkbandshell@citywindsor.ca if you want to discuss your ideas or offer some feedback there. All right, so I do have Tony Smith on the line with us right now. Tony Smith owns and operates Garage Gym. There's three locations, Amherstburg, Windsor, and Kingsville. I actually started in Amherstburg and then kind of expanded out over the past few years, but I've been taking part in their six-week transformation, and they offer you everything. Not only can you go to the classes, but also there's an app you can use. There's a nutrition plan. You have access 24/7 to coaches, and I've even been put into a group, and we're working on winning this thing. We're going to win it because we're doing great so far, but I'm really hoping that, you know, I know that after these 6 weeks, I'm going to be a totally new person. There's going to be a whole new mindset. And so I wanted to speak with Tony briefly on the show this week and kind of talk about that a little bit. So Tony, first off, I got to say, I've never been more sore in my life, which is a good thing though, correct?
I mean, it can be a good thing. It's probably a good thing, you know, starting from where you're starting off this time. So I think it's a good thing. You'll be good. You're working hard. That's what makes me happy.
Well, what did you say? You said anyone who used to be called the Baconator definitely is in need of a 6 week transformation.
I might be generalizing, but I think yes, that definitely is the case.
How did you come up with 6WT? Can you kind of explain the program as well for those who may not be familiar with? with it?
This is our 10th time running it. And we just felt like all of us, my staff included, myself and my wife probably being the only staff who were there at the time, needed just a slingshot. So like the 6-week transformation, it's for beginners, but it's also ignites success for people that have been, you know, in shape for a long time. Like right now, like even though it's been 10 times through, we have 70 people that have already done it that are repeating it.
That's crazy. And I think that speaks volumes about that it does work, right? People, it not only works, but people actually enjoy doing it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, for the people that have been around, we always say, like, we want to transform your habits. Like, that's the goal with you, right? We want to transform some habits. We don't want you to do this for 6 weeks and then fall off. So people find it like they come out the other end, they got a few better habits. And then we don't want you to need to do this. We want you to want to do it again. And that's the kind of like environment we're trying to provide.
You know, I'm one of those people who kind of goes up and down, right? And I think a lot of people are like that, where it's like you go to the gym for a few weeks and then you kind of fall off the wagon, you start eating like garbage again. I love the fact that, you know, you guys, especially with a 6-week transformation challenge, you know, you're on top of me. Like someone from Garage Gym is messaging me. I have direct communication with you. You guys hook everybody up with the app. You've offered food plans to make it really easy for not only me, but anybody taking part in 6WT. You're literally like, all right, here's some meals you can eat. And oh, maybe you don't want tofu. Well, you can swap it out. I think your wife, Danny, does all of that, the food plan stuff, right? And I think it's amazing.
Yeah, Danny's our like our director of fuel, we call it. Fuel being like fueling your body, like fueling performance. We're not, this isn't a weight loss competition by any means. Like, you know, some people that will be the case. Some people it's about building muscle. It's a little bit different for everybody. But yeah, I mean, also, who the hell would want to eat tofu?
Well, exactly. And that's what I said. I'm like, oh, tofu. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I can swap this out. There we go. I can swap it out and do chicken or beef or whatever I want, right? Which is great. I love that you guys, right, again, just make it easy for everybody.
And I want you, like, I got to be the coach right now. You said that you're, you know, you're up and down. You've been that guy. You're not that guy anymore. This is the transformation. Like, you are how you say something, how you do everything, right? So it's like, you know, I used to be that guy. I'm not anymore.
Well, you got to change your mindset. And that's what,
absolutely,
again, that's what I'm hoping the 6-week transformation is going to do, is literally change my mindset to then, you know, be like, no, those bad habits are in the past. Now I'm looking to the future. I have a trip scheduled to Panama this summer. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm like, I'm not thinking about, you know, day by day here. I'm thinking about how good I'm going to feel after these 6 weeks. And then even after that, you know, maybe 4 or 5 months from now, how good I'm going to feel to finally be able to wear clothes that fit properly, to be able to take my shirt off at the pool, you know, at the resort, and not be embarrassed about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Funny, one of my first moments where I've always been lucky. I've been somebody who's probably not really struggled with my weight. I saw some pictures of myself on a beach in Panama and was like, who is this guy? Like, I can't own a gym and, you know, be this guy. And that had greatly to do with where we are now, which is pretty funny that that you brought that country up.
Right. I love the fact too that, I mean, you guys are family owned. You're not some big conglomerate who doesn't give a damn about their clients, right? You're just, you know, you're not just a number. And I can tell already just from my first week of going there, everybody knows my name already. And everybody's like, hey, Mark, you can do it. You know, everybody's cheering each other on. Again, like I said, you're not just a number.
Yeah, man, not just the coaches, the people that come to the gym are the same. And yeah, we started in our little tiny one car garage, my wife and I, really myself. And then my wife started to show interest and the business really took off. And we have full-time employees. Like, we're not just playing like a teenager to come in and facilitate the class. You know, this is what we do for a living. And our trainers are also the same boat.
What would you say to those people who've never stepped foot in a gym before, or maybe are a little bit scared? Because I'm going to be honest, I was scared that first morning. I was driving there and I'm like, oh my God, can I do this? Like, and it's a little nervous the first few times.
Yeah. You know what? You might have the better advice than I do for that one, but like, I just tell people like, take that first step. You know, I know the maybe the graffiti on the walls and maybe the tattoos on my neck, you know, like make people a little bit more intimidated than they should be. But it is honestly, it is about taking the first step. And it's, I don't say I have to get in shape before I come. Like, that's our job. And we have every fitness level, all ages. And our job is to regress and progress to match all of them. And that's what we do best.
I love it, man. Well, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way? I know you guys got 3 locations, Amherstburg, Kingsville, and Windsor. But if someone, you know, is thinking about making that leap, what's the best way to get in touch with you guys?
Look at you, so professional. I always forget to plug all 3 gyms. But yes, the best way to get a hold of us is go to the website, thegaragegym.net. There's a little form there. We got 7-day free trials. Just click that and we will get a hold of you and get you set up.
Awesome. I love it. Again, thegaragegym.net if you want more info. Windsor, Kingsville, Amherstburg, there's no excuse not to be able to find a location near you. And look, I'm already down 4 pounds in my first week, man. So definitely the program works. Garage Gym works. I recommend it for everybody. And I think I said also that you must be cursed out a lot from people. I was ready to curse you the other day. But you probably are like, good, if people are cursing at me after the workout, it means I did my job, right?
You know what? Absolutely. I'm happy that I have a reputation when I walk in and people are a little bit nervous to be in my class. Maybe not everybody else's. And that's great, man. And consistency is king. Keep it up, Mark. You're killing it.
Thanks, man. Well, I want to talk to you every week. We're going to continue to follow my progression through it, and I'm looking forward to the final results after 6 weeks. So thanks so much, Tony.
Heck yeah, thank you.
There you go, Tony Smith of Garage Gym. Again, a big thanks to Tony and his entire team over at Garage Gym, not only for helping me out, but helping so many people in the Windsor-Essex community.
The commitment needs to be a commitment to grow the economy, and the budget will balance itself.
Yeah, we all remember that famous comment from Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, the budget will balance itself. How's that worked out? Not very well. The 9th deficit that the Trudeau government will run. Yeah, the budget has dropped. I was hoping it was going to drop before the end of this recording, and it has. And this is going to be the 9th deficit, again, that the Trudeau government will run. The 9th. Again, after Trudeau promised that the budget will, quote, quote, balance itself. 1 in 4 children in this country are missing meals because their parents can't afford groceries. People are struggling to pay their rents and their mortgages. The cost of heating and cooling a home has skyrocketed. People can't even afford a down payment for a home anymore. That same house that used to be $80,000 in 2014 is now over $300,000, all because of inflation, which is caused by running a deficit and then printing more money. This Liberal government, which is being propped up by the NDP, adding $40 billion of new debt. So let's break that down. That is $2,400 of new inflation for all of us. Let's look at the debt. This year alone, because, you know, we got to take this in. We got to look at all sides of this, right? Everybody hears, oh, spending on this, spending on that. This is great. Spend, 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 spend. But you got to look at, like, it's costing us more at the end of the day. So Canada, this year alone, just this year, we're going to spend $54.1 billion just on debt. Just on debt costs. That is wasted money. It's like racking up your credit card and continuing to just pay the minimum payment and thinking that you're going to be able to pay this off while the interest just continues to accumulate. The Canadian Taxpayers Federation has already come out and said that the federal government could, quote, win the lottery every day and it still would max out its credit card. Again, that's from the Canadian Taxpayer Federation. So they're actually denouncing the federal government for hiking taxes, increasing spending, and allowing debt interest charges to take up again $54 billion of the 2024-2025 budget. The debt interest charges, again, costing us more than $1 billion every week. $1 billion a week we're spending just on interest charges. And these large deficits mean that those interest charges will cost taxpayers more than the federal government will actually send to the provinces in health transfers this year. It's crazy. I don't get it. So the debt will total more than $1.2 trillion this year. And when Trudeau took power, the debt, $616 billion. Billion. So still, that's a lot of debt, $616 billion. But now we're up to $1.2 trillion in debt. Now the $616 billion, not to try to justify it, but, you know, we did just come out of a recession, right? Canada fared off pretty well, so it was expected that there would be some debt. But now, since 2014 onward, now's the time you start paying that off, right? And, I mean, the economy should be booming right now. Unfortunately, people are struggling all over. People are losing their homes. I'm seeing it. It's starting already, and it's going to get worse over the next 12 months. I guarantee you that. I can guarantee you that. I'm looking at the trends. As a realtor, I can see the foreclosures are going up. People are struggling out there. And I'm hearing it from residents as well all the time. People are calling me saying, I'm losing my home. Like, what do I do? I need help. And that's the hardest part about this job, is when people call you and they say, I can't afford to pay my bills. I'm retired. I did everything I was supposed to do. And now I can't afford to pay my bills. I can't afford my heating, my gas. I can't afford groceries. I can't afford my taxes. I'm going to lose my house, this house that I've lived in for 60, 70 years. It's heartbreaking. It truly is. And I have people cry on the phone with me all the time. And again, that's the worst part of this job, because then I lay up at night. I can't sleep. That eats away at me. It really does. And unfortunately, this federal government just doesn't seem to care. I really don't understand, right? They're going to raise taxes yet again. They think that's the solution. Let's just raise taxes. It'll be fine. We'll raise taxes. And they say, oh, we're only going to raise taxes for the rich. We're only going to raise taxes on the large corporations. Well, who do you think ends up paying for that? You think if Loblaws pays more taxes, they're just going to say, huh, all right, well, I guess we just got to pay more taxes. No, you know what they're going to do? They're going to raise prices on all of their products again and again and again. We are the ones who are going to end up having to pay for that. And by saying you're going to raise the taxes on the, quote, wealthy, what do they consider wealthy nowadays? Because that's a conversation we need to have as well, is what is considered wealthy? Because even look at the Sunshine List, for example, and I know there's been a lot of discussion over that. $100,000 isn't what it used to be. $100,000 in the 90s and early 2000s, absolutely. $100,000 now, it's half of what it used to be, right? And unfortunately, a lot of people still aren't even making that. It's truly, I'm just so discouraged. I don't even know. And then you hear them come out, and I'm trying to read this as we go here. 5,000 jobs will be cut. 5,000 federal jobs. So the federal government is saying that they're going to cut 5,000 federal jobs to try to save money. Meanwhile, they're then going and spending billions and billions of dollars. And you think you're going to be able to offset that by cutting jobs? And where are they going to cut jobs? Airports. The passport office. Have we not just been dealing with this for the past few years about how airports actually need more staffing? We need more staffing at our borders, and we need more staffing at our passport offices as well. Look at the lineups at a passport office. People don't want to be having, you got to take off a day of work to go get a passport. Does that make sense? And this government is now going to cut from those departments to try to save money. They also say they're going to sell off some government-owned land and buildings. I'm fine with that, but this is something that should have been done years ago. Look at HMCS Hunter. Smack dab, Olette Avenue. How many years have we been talking about what is the government doing with this building? Do something with it. We'll see how long it takes for them to get moving on that. I noticed no cuts for the CBC, though. Nope, CBC still getting their $1.38 billion in funding. So this government is happy to continue to fund media organizations, again, like the CBC, with $1.38 billion, even though CBC announced many layoffs, yet all the higher-ups, of course, got a bonus after that as well. This is the BS that just upsets me so much. And I'm trying not to just flip out at this point, but, you know, just reading this budget so far, I don't know how the NDP can continue to prop up this Liberal government. I really don't. And if they think that voters aren't going to remember this when they go to the polls, I truly hope that, you know, the voters do remember this, because, you know, the NDP has been propping up this Liberal government for the past few years now. They voted for every carbon tax increase. They're going to support this budget. I can guarantee you that. The NDP will support this budget. They will support adding $40 billion in new debt and new spending. They will support that. And I hope you remember that when you go to the ballot box. Now, are there some things in this budget that I do like? Sure. I mean, I'm not going to say that I don't like everything, but I think some of it doesn't really mean anything. And at the same time, I feel like, why do you need to include this in a budget? Ticket transparency, for example. So a lot of people get upset when they buy a concert ticket, you know, and then there's all these extra fees. It's like, oh, tickets are $60. Good luck finding a concert ticket for $60. But you know what I'm saying? $60 for this concert ticket. Then after fees, well, now I'm paying like $80-something. Well, the government's saying that they're going to force all fees to be displayed up front with ticket prices. Okay. And? Like, I don't understand what this has to do with a budget. Like, why do you need to put that in a budget? They also say that they're going to have improved protections around refunds when events are canceled. And I guess trying to find ways to crack down on resellers and bots and stuff like that. But again, this isn't something that needs to be thrown into the budget here. That has nothing to do with spending, right? So that's not going to be costing us anything. I guess they're going to be trying to do the same thing with airlines as well, forcing airlines to be more upfront with extra fees and things like that. Okay. Sure, that's good. I agree. But again, it's not like a budgetary item, really. Now, they've talked about phone and internet plans. And so there's an amendment to the Telecommunications Act. The Liberals plan on prohibiting telecom companies from charging a customer an extra fee to switch phone or internet carriers. I didn't know that you did. There was a fee. I've never gotten charged to switch phone or internet carriers. I mean, I guess if you're in a contract, possibly. But anyway, they're saying that they're going to try to make it easier. Okay, again, something that doesn't need to be in the budget. Cool. Thank you. Good to know that this is something that they're working on. But again, this is also something that they promised 10 years ago. You know? What else did they put in here? I'm trying to look through. Disability benefit. Sounds good. The Canadian Disability Benefit Act. It looks like they're going to be increasing funding there. Good. I'm happy about that. That is definitely something that I do 100% get behind. So the goal is to have payments begin to reach people who need them by July 2025. They're saying that it's to provide financial support for low-income working age people. And it looks like they're going to be upping that fund. So I still don't know if it goes far enough. But a little bit's better than nothing. But there's a lot of people who I know really, really rely on that. And then, like, so there was the discussion about, will the budget make electric vehicles cheaper? And of course, this Trudeau government wants to see all new vehicle sales be electric by 2035. Yeah, they want to ban gas vehicles by 2035, make everything, the only new vehicle you'll be able to buy by 2035 is an electric vehicle. And of course, the Liberals have spent billions of dollars to attract battery and vehicle manufacturing plants, right? The Ontario government has done the same. Municipalities like the city of Windsor, for example, has put in a lot to attract firms. You know, you look at the battery plant we have here that's currently being built. Natural Resources Canada has committed about $1 billion to expand EV charging infrastructure. And it looks as though this budget plans to add about $607.9 million to the incentives for the quote, what is it, the zero emission vehicle program. So it offers drivers up to $5,000 when purchasing or leasing a new electric vehicle. But that still doesn't do much, considering when you look at the prices of these electric vehicles, they're significantly more. And the cost is more to replace parts and a battery alone on there. So, look, I'm going to be straight up. A lot of people don't want electric vehicles. You look at the electric vehicle sales. Toyota, for example, has said, we're not even going to make electric vehicles. We're going to stick with the hybrids. You know, it's the best of both worlds. And part of me, honestly, I kind of think that's the way to go. Like, stick with the hybrids, right? That's what people want. People are good with hybrids. I'll take a hybrid vehicle. I don't want, personally, I do not want an EV. I don't want an electric vehicle. The infrastructure just isn't there right now. And we see what's happening in California. People are waiting hours just to charge their car. Personally, I think that hybrids are the way to go. That's just me. But, and again, I mean, Toyota's saying the same thing, but you see a lot of these, GM just announced that they're pushing back their EV manufacturing by a few years too, right? So a lot of these big companies are starting to say, you know what, just the demand isn't there. The consumer doesn't want them. So there's a few things that, you know, I'm seeing here in the budget. Obviously, more will come out over the next few days or so. Everything I'm reading so far, it's not a great budget. It just sounds like they're just racking up the debt. Our interest payments are going to be going up. Inflation's going to continue to go up. And it's not really going to solve any of the issues that Canadians are facing right now. So be prepared to pay more. Let's just say that. All right. I'm going to wrap this up. We do have a council meeting coming up on Monday. Lots of things going on at council on Monday. A lot of it is on consent. But a few of the things that I know we will be discussing include, let me see. I'm just bringing it up here. Sorry. again, a lot of stuff's on consent because we ended up canceling the last council meeting. So it is a busy one. But again, lots is on consent here. But we are going to be looking at the Little River Pollution Control Plant. That's something that I'm definitely is going to have a lot of discussion, including the Ojibwe trunk sewer maintenance, hole rehab. And then I know the bright lights, moving the location of bright lights. This was a council question that Councillor Ronaldo Agostino asked, and I should have probably had him on, but maybe we'll get him on next week. I'll try to get him on next week after the decision at council. But I know this is something that he's really been working with administration on, and I think it's gotten to the point where it's like, look, we don't necessarily need to move bright lights from Jackson Park, but can we almost just continue lights? But I think he almost wants them like all year round down Olette Avenue. So it's almost changing that policy where you'd be allowing these lights. And I think he even wants them to go over the roadway where administration's saying, look, you know, we don't really want to put them over the roadways. You do see them, though, in other municipalities. So there are going to be some questions on that one, not only from Councillor Agostino, but if he doesn't, you know, I'll let him ask the questions first. It's his CQ. But I'll probably have some questions on that as well. So I'm trying to think what else we have on here. Oh, we also did receive the 2023 Windsor Police Service annual report. And I'm hoping, I'm actually going to request that that the police chief, Chief Belair, be in attendance. I'm sure he will be, but I'm just going to confirm that because I'm guaranteeing there's going to be, I know I have a lot of questions regarding this annual report. So you can read the whole thing online. I won't get into the nitty gritty, but definitely response times is something that stuck out. Our response times are pretty high, higher than I know we'd like to see, higher than last year as well. And that was brought up last year also. So that's definitely something that I want to bring up. And also I want to talk about youth-related crimes, because we do see a 26.7% increase in youth-related crimes. And I'd like to have a discussion on that as well. So there is some good news, though. You know, gun crimes down 21%. So that's great to see. Unfortunately, you know, some other things are kind of not great. So there's good and bad, just like everything, right? But again, there will be some questions on that as well. But hopefully we'll see you there. 10 a.m. Monday morning. If you can't make it, again, you can always stream online at citywindsor.ca as well. We try to make it very accessible for you. And if you want to delegate, you know, feel free to, again, you can do it by Zoom, you can do it by phone, you can write a letter, you can attend in person, you have many options. But again, Council, 10 a.m., Monday, April 22nd. Hopefully we'll see you there at Council Chambers, first floor of Windsor City Hall. We'll wrap that up for the Windsor podcast this week. And again, hopefully next week I can get Ronaldo in here and we'll chat about a few other things. So thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for the support. Make sure to follow, like, and share it with your friends as well. WindsorPodcast.com. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day. And thank you so much for listening to the Windsor Podcast. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Windsor Podcast. Find more at WindsorPodcast.com.